Hey Rob, what's up?
What's up, David? How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you ready to talk some patent?
I am ready.
You're crazy.
I'm more than ready.
All right, so the last few podcasts we've started off with, if you had to restrict yourself to one idea that you learned from Jocko talking about patents, I guess you would consider an autobiography. What was the one idea that you would start with?
So, I mean, this one was kind of different. Like, I feel like Patton is just kind of like just a guy just marching to the beat of his own drum. He's like very different from anybody else that we learned. But the one thing I learned is pretty much how he paints the picture of war and how like brutal it is. And the one thing that really sticks out to me that I've been thinking about since this podcast is when he was planning, a tank campaign. And he was anticipating running out of gas. so he's like, all right, when we run out of gas, just walk. Like, shit like that. Like, we cannot fathom. And it's just another thing that just adds to the reasons why, like, we're not in war. But I don't know, man. That really just paints a reality of war. And just like a campaign. It's like, hey, if you run out of gas, just get out and walk.
I like how your Patton voice was the same as your Jocko voice.
That's my military voice. It's catered to make me sound more manly.
All right.
It often doesn't work, but.
All right. So your one takeaway was that, what's the lesson? Is it perseverance? What did you distill from that thought?
It's more like it's the brutality or the reality of wars. Like the things that we often overlook, like, hey, you run out of gas. You know what I mean? Like, you actually, convoys of equipment and personnel, they run out of gas. And then what do? Oh, you just get up and keep going. Like, a tow truck doesn't show up. Like these platoons or whatever group is out there operating independently of the world. You know, their campaign is 100% self-sufficient. If you don't have gas, well, you get out and you walk. You keep marching.
You just said something. I mean, they operate independently of the world. So when I, at the very beginning, Jocko was talking about that war is the ultimate human struggle. And that's, I actually wanted to talk to you about that idea, which we could elaborate on in a minute, but you just kind of synthesized like what the thought I had when I heard Jocko say that, which was like every day for almost all of human history, there are people engaged in battles to the death. And it's like, it's the ultimate, using Jocko's quote, like combat is the ultimate human struggle. And to me, it's like, that's happening. Oh, there's Tonks. She hasn't made an appearance on the podcast in a while. I'm glad to hear her. That is something to me where it's kind of bizarre how, if you think about how you wake up, you go through your day to day. We are all, for the most part, taking part in this thing that this creation that we call society, and you worry about, you know, traffic or getting a lot of coworkers or picking up your kid from school on time or all these other things that we feel is extremely important. But when you compare it to the fact that there is a central part of the human existence is fighting other humans to the death, everything kind of like pales in comparison. Does that thought make any sense to you?
Like there's no other, like there was another quote that kind of simplifies that too. Let me scroll down and get it. War is the only place where a man really lives. And I like it how he starts the podcast with the Cormac McCarthy quote from Blood Meridian is war is the forcing of the unity of existence. And I mean, that's pretty deep on itself.
That's a hell of a quote.
Hell of a quote. It's like one of my favorite authors too. This is one of the few books I haven't read by Cormac McCarthy, and I think I'm gonna read it.
I don't think I'm familiar with him.
You're not. Yes, you are. You just don't know it. Like his most famous work would be No Country for Old Men.
Yes, you told me about him before. Okay.
Yeah, one of my favorite books. And
I'll get to like my main takeaway, but it's really funny. Towards the end of the podcast, he's taking questions from from the audience, and they're talking about like is learning jiu-jitsu, like what do you want to do for self-defense? And I've heard him answer variations of this question before. But the what he said I chuckled because he said the first step for self-defense is situational awareness. Don't put yourself in bad situations. Be aware of your surroundings. Just know what's going on. It's funny. My six-year-old daughter, I say that so frequently when I'm out, when we're out in public, about maintaining situational awareness, that she even like will say it now. She'd be like, "Daddy, you're not maintaining situational awareness." And it's really funny to hear like a six-year-old say that. And so my point being is like you're in public, you know, you're in a big city. There's you're going to be exposed to thousands of people every day, you know? And sometimes those could be like homeless people that seem to be like on drugs and maybe prone to violence, or you just need to know what's going around, like what's happening in your area. As opposed to, you know, just being, like you see these videos online, like I see them a lot on Instagram where people like, they catch like CCTV of people stealing stuff. Like there's this one guy I just saw, he's just sitting in a coffee shop right next to a door. And immediately before as soon as the video started, I'm like, why is that guy have his laptop? Like, why is he so close to the door? Somebody could walk by, grab his laptop and run out the door. Well, what happens 5 seconds later in that video? That guy did not have situational awareness. Now he's lucky they just took something from him instead of actually harming him. But I've seen like girls, this happened to a young girl a few blocks from my house, and she's walking around with a expensive purse. CCTV picks this up. A car pulls up next to her, grabs her, and instead of her letting go of the purse, she holds on. So they're dragging her by the strap of the purse. And the car could have like run over, crushed her head. Like she should just let it go. More importantly, realize that, hey, that neighborhood you're in right now that you think is everything's fine because there's people out there going to restaurants and going to bars. If you maintain situational awareness, you know there's a high crime rate there, which means you don't bring expensive things into those areas. I like that. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say one thing that Jocko has instilled into me, and it's not so subtle, is like kind of this base of hypervigilance. Like I do check like where my exits are, who the people are, and it's almost subconscious. Now that I like, you know, you think about it more and more, and you know, since sometimes, you know, I often carry, so I think about these things and like just the situational, but I like how they apply the jiu-jitsu as your first line of defense. Is like, you don't want to pull out a gun.
Listen, we're born with our primary self-defense, and it'll keep you safe in most situations. And that's running. You're born knowing how to run. So you should do that first. And then, so he's like, situational awareness, then run if you're in a bad situation. If you can't get away, then, you know, do you have a gun on you? Because if somebody's trying to harm you and they know you have a gun, they're probably not going to want to harm you anymore. Yeah. And then the second from that is our third or whatever number we're at now is jiu-jitsu. But so let me answer my own question as far as like, if I could only talk about one lesson from Patton. The best is the enemy of the good. And I've heard this put very different ways, but I like the way he says it. He goes, by this, I mean that a good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan next week. The determining characteristics of leadership are self-confidence, speed, and audacity. And none of these things can ever be perfect. I also heard this put a different way where... and this I think about in terms of like what you're doing with your life, like what contributions do you make on your day to day, like what's your job, what's your business, what are the things that you create, and anybody that makes anything understands this, where it's never done. Like you could sit there and perfect what you're working on over and over and over again and never ever like perfected. Let other people see it. Hey, just go with the plan you have and violently execute it as opposed to sitting around and waiting. Interesting that Jocko said that Patton, I mean, because, you know, Jocko studied military history extensively, and he said that Patton is the most aggressive of anyone I've ever heard of.
Ultra aggressive. But
that's a hell of a statement.
He was also like highly motivating too. Like I can imagine, like, I love the way his one speech starts when he's talking to people. Well, I say people, but obviously it's like some sort of command. He's like, born at sea, baptized with blood and crowned with victory. It's just like, that's how you start. Like you got to get old like that. How does that not pump you up to go out and like he knew the true like emotions of war, I guess. Like
I think that's why I think me and you like reading so much, because when you find somebody that has like a mastery of language,
yeah,
there's like an emotional feeling, like a reaction that you have to even like your favorite music or whatever the case is. My favorite quote from Patton is, "May God have mercy on my enemies; they won't need it."
I looked up a bunch of like Patton quotes, and like there was one that's just like, "You don't want to die for your country; you want to make the enemy die for his." like just stuff like this is like, it's secondary, right? Like make his enemy die for their country. Like, we're gonna live for ours. I love
Before you listened to this podcast, did you know that Patton was a firm believer in reincarnation, and that he was convinced that he had been a soldier many times before, like over hundreds of thousands of years?
If I did, it was forgotten, and it surprised me just the same as the first time hearing it with Jocko. And it's just, and that makes a lot of sense, right? Like, some of these people of his caliber kind of like that. You know what I mean? Like,
I read up on his early life, and he says I'd never seriously considered any other career besides combat. So I think he would study military history when he was young. I think he was like 11 or 12 years old at the time.
That's a recurring theme with a lot of these like successful people, is like they know what they want to do at an early age. Same thing.
It certainly helps, doesn't it?
It definitely helps. I think it's snowing right now. Sorry. I'm just looking outside. It looks like snow.
So in addition to that quote, or the fact that he believed in reincarnation, that was surprising to me. I did not know that they called him in the book, or I don't know if it was in the book, but somebody described Patton as an unrepentant aristocratic snob.
Yeah, I heard that too. It was, I think it was just a subquote.
Jocko was talking about the dichotomy where he, you know, he was in love. He praised soldiers, you know.
Yeah.
He put them on a pedestal in a certain extent. You also find out that, you know, he's, admits later in his life, he only, you know, he doesn't like the dirt, and he only does it as a means to an end, and his end is glory, which is kind of crazy that there's humans, and he's not the first one to try to accumulate glory through violence to other humans.
I think
it's
that's
a weird thought.
I don't think that's that weird. I think that's military and tribal warfare from the beginning. Like that type of breed has chased victory for a long time. That's a very abstract thought. It's just like, we've always been a species that's like, I want to say like conflict is almost a constant, like somewhere in the world at some time, somebody is warring over something or something. And the goal is always for at least for one victory. Else why engage?
Yeah, well, usually you want something from that other person, whether it's the territory they have, the resources they have, the women they have, whatever the case is. another idea that I want to highlight, because this was my 1B, but this is just another one that I enjoy.
This doesn't count.
Thanks. He talks about the disease of victory.
Yeah.
And that victory rots from within, leading leaders to underestimate their enemies and overestimate their own battlefield prowess. And the only antidote to the disease of victory is humiliating defeat.
Yeah, and that kind of goes with the Patton paradox. You remember that?
No, I do not.
Where it's kind of written in what you just said is, your strength often become your weaknesses.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so that is kind of like, hey, you're winning, and you know the disease will rot inside, and you'll just be kind of, I guess, more content and less on edge, or less vigilant, or less aggressive. Whatever it is, you may take your foot off the gas, right? And that,
well, Jocko
that
calls
strength
that
instantly becomes a weakness.
Jocko calls that getting off the path.
And he and Patton both believe that like discipline is one of those things. Like, you can't. Like, over time, your discipline is, they started out saying that discipline weakens over time, but Jocko's like, no, it actually strengthens, because you resist more, you build up that bigger resistance. And
to your point, it's their number one characteristic for both Patton and Jocko.
Yeah.
And I think the point that he was making is very valuable, in the sense that once you let one little thing slip, like Now you're sleeping in. Like, then it's because you started to slip in one area. It's much easier. Like, oh, I slept in. Okay, well, then I'll just lay in bed and look at my phone for an extra 15 minutes because I'm late anyways. Or, I won't have to eat food that's actually good for me. I'll just focus on food that's actually tasty.
Yeah. There's an old quote that haunts me from a previous podcast, and I think it was Hackworth when he says, it all started when the men stopped shaving.
That's so good.
I can't remember who said it, but I think about that all the time. Like, every morning when I shave, I'm just like, it all started when the men stopped shaving. I'm looking in the mirror, and then the next thing you know, I'm looking good and I'm feeling better. It's just,
anyway. Well, I'm glad you're taking the lessons and actually applying them.
That's one thing that, you know, Marcus Aurelius once said, like, what is it worth if you're not going to practice these things? Like, why read Stoic philosophy if you're not going to practice? Why go into military, maxims if you're not going to practice to become better? So I truly believe if you don't practice it or apply it anywhere, then what are we doing this for? I think it's great.
Well, and there's just one more quote that I wanted to bring up on the podcast, and it's Patton on courage. And he says, and this is, he was speaking to...
It was like the last one, right?
Yeah, he was speaking to what Jocko said is the most. Jocko answers the question like, if you can only learn one thing, he said this is the most important thing.
Yeah,
and it's a Patton on courage. It says, "Do not take counsel of your fears." And Jocko, his way of saying that is, fear doesn't get a vote, so it doesn't matter that you're afraid. Don't listen to him. Don't talk to your fears. Just keep going.
So this is how much Patton was a savage, and when he was speaking of his officers saying that, well, if you failed an objective and you didn't die or not like severely injured, then you didn't do shit, homie. like this guy was so hardcore. Like, he had to have motivated guys to go through walls and I love it.
So the quote he's Patton saying is, any commander who fails to obtain his objective and who is not dead or severely wounded has not done his full duty.
You failed.
So that's, again, like, most of us are not going to experience combat or any, you know, these fights to the death. But I think if you apply that to your work or apply that to, let's say you want to stick to your diet or
so
you want to get
in shape.
So if I don't
get those expense reports in and I'm still alive, I did not fulfill my duty like that.
What I mean is metaphorically. It's like, okay, you set a goal for yourself and like, don't stop until you reach that goal. And the only thing, it's funny, one of the, there's a young woman that won the, she's like one of those gymnasts in the Olympics. And I remember reading an interview with her, and she talked about how, like, you know, she'd been training for this every day for 15 years or, her, you know, she's relatively young. I think she was in her early 20s at the time.
Uh-huh.
And they said, what would be a good excuse not to go to the gym? And she goes, death.
Yeah.
And this is coming from maybe like maybe 22, 15. 24 year old
young
woman.
Early.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, and it's like that level of dedication. So, you know, it's not about expense reports. It's about, well, do you have a plan for your life? And it could be, again, what do you want to work on? What do you want that to be? Like, what do you want your relationship with your wife to be? What do you want your physical fitness to be? What do you want your diet to be? Well, you're not dead or severely wounded, so if you haven't accomplished that yet, you haven't done your full duty. And I think that level of extremeness, if that's even a word, is, I don't know, I'm attracted to that kind of thing, that kind of stuff. I'm attracted to the outliers. You know, that's why we're sitting here talking about Patton and not some random person, because he was an outlier. He was very extreme. So,
very.
If you guys, there's anything that we talk about in this podcast, look at the show notes in your podcast player, and you'll see not only the notes that me and Rob have that we took from the original episode, or while listening to the original episode, but anytime we mention books, because we both read a lot, or even the original book, like this book written by Patton, we include links to all that. So if you guys want to check that out, there's also a link in the show notes that if you want to listen to Patton's book, you can actually get two free audiobooks, and it's down below. And if you want a shameless plug on my part, I also have another podcast called Founders that I read books on the autobiographies and biographies of people that have built companies and pull out ideas that you can use in your life. Very similar to what Jocko does. I actually got the idea from Jocko.
It's a good podcast.
things, what Jocko does with military leaders, because just like we're taking lessons that they learn from combat and applying it to our own lives, we can do that, lessons that people learned by while building companies and apply it to our own lives. So there's links in that as well. And I guess next week we got to get ready for Jocko podcast number 10.
I'm ready.
All right. Sounds good, man. All right. Well, I'll talk to you, Rob. I'll talk to you again next week.